Paul's passion was the gospel. You will never understand Paul's life at all until you understand this key. What drove this man forward in life all the way to his death was one thing and one thing only, and that is the message of the gospel. He loved to watch people's lives change. I mean, what would make him go from place to place to get beat up, thrown in jail, kicked out of town, go to the next town, beat up, thrown in jail, every year, year after year, in every place? Either he's a nutcase, or he loved the fact that some will be transformed in that city, and it never got old watching people get saved.
When you're planning to visit a new city, the first thing you generally want to get lined up is a place to stay. And traditionally, if you didn't have any friends to stay with, you'd go to a hotel. But with the rise of the internet, we have other options. Now you can stay in homes or rent rooms in the city. And it's a great way to get into the heart of a place to see what it's really like. Well, today on Connect with Skip Weekend Edition, Skip Heitzik prepares to bring our study on the life of Paul to a close as he unpacks Paul's arrival and stay in what was a new city for him, Rome. Paul certainly had a local place to stay, but it wasn't what he originally hoped for. We'll get to that here in just a moment. But before we do, we wanted to tell you about a brand new study guide from Pastor Skip.
Predicting the future with 100% accuracy? No one but God is even close to being able to make that claim. And yeah, it's kind of a big deal.
I want you to think of prophecy as being an aspect of one of God's great attributes. God is omniscient. He knows everything. And because he is omniscient, one of the aspects of his omniscience is that he knows the future in advance and can write about it, can predict it through his prophets in graphic detail.
Take the guessing game out of the future with Skip Heitzig's newly reprinted book, You Can Understand the Book of Revelation, now including helpful illustrations and a study guide. Get your copy when you give a generous gift of $35 or more to help expand the Bible teaching outreach of Skip Heitzig. Just call 800-922-1888 to give today. That's 800-922-1888 to give today. Or give online securely at connectwithskip.com/offer. That's connectwithskip.com/offer.
We'll be in Acts chapter 28 today, so open up your Bibles or Bible apps as we begin. Here's Pastor Skip.
I got to admit, I feel a little sad today in closing out our study on the life of Paul. I have grown so much to appreciate and love this man in the last 6 months as I've pored over writings about him, read again the scriptures that we have read together. And it's going to sound kind of dumb, but I found myself even getting a little emotional this week as I considered Paul's final days on the earth. It's like I'm saying goodbye to a friend, see you later in heaven, even though we're going to read more of him in years to come. The name of this message is Rome, Sweet Rome. It was the place Paul had always wanted to go. And let's begin with prayer before we even start reading this morning. Heavenly Father, in this final study that we have together in Paul's long road to Rome, we pray that on our own journey, our own road, that our priorities, our decisions, our goals, our plans would all be in accordance with your perfect plan for our lives. We want to make a difference. We don't presume to think we could make the kind of difference Paul made, but you've given us some sphere, some platform to do that. We pray that we would do it faithfully in Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder if you've heard about a guy named Yitzhak Kaduri. He was 108 years old when he died. He was a rabbi in Jerusalem who died in January of 06 at 108, they say. Now, when he died, he was so famous in Israel that 200,000 to 300,000 people attended his funeral out in the streets of Jerusalem. That's not what makes him unique. What makes him unique is before he died, he told his followers on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, he said, "I know who the Messiah is. I know his name." In fact, he said, "I met him." He wrote down what he said was Messiah's name on a piece of paper sealed it and asked his followers not to open it till after his death. And when it was read, it shocked the Jews in Jerusalem, especially his followers, for it read, Yeshua, or Jesus, is the Messiah. It said, let me continue. You may not get that excited. Many have known his name but not believed that he is the Messiah. Now, we're unsure as to exactly whom he was speaking, because he had very different ideas of the Messiah. If you read his writings, you might think it's Jesus, the one we know. You might not. But now you compare Yitzhak Kaduri with another rabbi who came to Christ. We've been studying him, Saul of Tarsus. He didn't rattle a few cages. He shook the world. And he has been shaking it for the last 2,000 years in his writings. Saul of Tarsus, a.k.a. Paul the Apostle. His conversion is so dramatic, it's mentioned 3 times in the book of Acts. And we've been studying that. We followed him. We followed him from the synagogue in Jerusalem, where he told the men to go ahead and kill Stephen, the first martyr. We followed him on the Damascus Road when he himself was transformed. We saw him preaching in Damascus till he had to get kicked out. We followed him down to Arabia for about 3 years, where in solitude he reassessed his life. We followed him back to Jerusalem, where he preached it up again and created a stir and had to be taken out back to Tarsus, his hometown, where he spent up to 7 years until Barnabas called for him to go to Antioch. And at Antioch, he started his ministry. From Antioch, we followed him on 3 missionary journeys around Galatia, Asia Minor, Macedonia, Greece, and then finally on that long boat ride and shipwreck to Rome. We have seen a soldier. We have read about and studied an uncompromising, unrelenting preacher of the gospel. And I want to ask this question in closing out the study on the life of Paul. What kind of statement are you making with your life? If you think about your goals, your plans, your dreams, what are you doing now that will leave a legacy for later on? Think about life for just a moment. Let me frame it a little bit differently. Tim Heyman writes, in the average lifetime, the average American spends 3 years in business meetings. It's way too long. 13 years watching television. Way too long, is right. We'll spend $89,281 on food, consumes 109,354 pounds of food, makes 1,811 trips to McDonald's. No wonder we got problems. Spends $6,881 in vending machines. Will eat 35,138 cookies. I don't know how they figure this stuff out. And 1,483 pounds of candy. Will catch 304 colds. Will be involved in 6 motor vehicle accidents. And will be hospitalized 8 times. That's the average for men. 12 times is the average for women. Don't ask me to go there. And will spend 24 years sleeping. All of that, and then you die. And that's it. So that's the question. What are you doing in all of this to leave a legacy? What kind of a statement are you making with your life? There's a cathedral in Milan, Italy, that has 3 arches as you go in. On one arch is inscribed in stone a beautiful rose, and underneath it says, "All that pleases is but for a moment." On the opposite far arch is inscribed a cross in stone, and it reads, "All that troubles is but for a moment." And over the biggest, the central and largest arch is the inscription that reads, "Nothing is important save that which is eternal." Paul had this uncanny way, did he not, of always going through that central arch in life and taking all of his activities, all of his goals, plans, and dreams, and thinking of his life in the temporary with an eternal perspective. And so, Acts 28, we begin in verse 11, Paul's arrival at Rome, which was marked by fellowship. After 3 months, we sailed in an Alexandrian ship whose figurehead was the twin brothers, which had wintered at the island. And sailing at Syracuse, we stayed 3 days. And there we circled around and reached Rhegium. And after 1 day, the south wind blew, and the next day we came to Puteoli, where we found brethren and were invited to stay with them 7 days. And so we went toward Rome. And from there, when the brethren heard about us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and Three Inns. When Paul saw them, he thanked God and he took courage. Now, when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was permitted to dwell by himself with the soldier who guarded him. Rome at last, the place Paul dreamed of, the place that dominated his life for the second part of his life. He always wanted to go there. He wrote to the Romans and said, I'm coming. He always planned it. Just a note on the literature of Luke and Acts. You know, the writer Luke wrote 2 books, Gospel of Luke and a sequel, the Book of Acts. And Luke had a style in his writing. That is, he followed the flow of travel. In Luke, the flow is from Galilee to Jerusalem. The Book of Acts, it's from Jerusalem to Rome. And if Jerusalem dominated Jesus' mind, then Rome dominated Paul's mind. Why? Here's the answer in part, Romans 15, verse 20. It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. Now, Rome itself was a magnificent city, still is. Rome is originally built on 7 hills on the Tiber River. Architecturally magnificent town, if you've ever been there, just the Colosseum and the Forum. But beyond that, there was the 3 circuses, the Circus Maximus and 2 others that were around the Forum. And these weren't circuses like with clowns and monkeys. A circus in those days was a building where chariot races were conducted. The Pantheon was built by Caesar Augustus to worship all the false gods of Rome, a magnificent building, they say. Roman baths, aqueducts, temples, and I mentioned the Forum. At one end, the Colosseum. At the other end, the Mamertine prison. And right in the middle of the Forum stood the golden milestone that had inscribed on it the distances to all of the major cities in the Roman Empire. It was the golden milestone where we get the old saying, all roads lead to Rome. It was also a very wicked city morally. We know that from the writers themselves. Seneca, a Roman writer, said, Rome is a cesspool of iniquity. Another writer, Juvenal, said, Rome is a filthy sewer. So, why does Paul want to go to Rome in the first place? You know, we keep asking that question. You know, if it's, okay, it's a great big city, but it's filthy, why go there? For the same reason he wants to go to Corinth or Ephesus or Athens. Because light shines the brightest in the darkest places. If all roads lead to Rome, then the reverse must also be true. All roads will lead from Rome. If you can get the greatest message ever preached to the greatest city in the world, it could be exported everywhere from Rome. Well, he goes. He makes it. He is met by locals, we see in verse 13 through 15. Some come all the way from Rome to the Appii Forum, which is 43 miles outside of town. Just think about what that means. These believers walked 43 miles just to welcome Paul to town. And Three Inns is about 30 miles out of town. It's a little closer, but still walking 30 miles to meet somebody. It must have been highly emotional for Paul. just seeing these believers. Because it says, he thanked God and he took courage. Think about that. There's Paul walking on the road. Then he's told, these are brothers who have come from Rome to see you. And he said, thank you, God. He became courageous. It's not hard to understand why, is it? He'd longed to be there. Remember Romans chapter 1? For I long to see you that I might impart some spiritual gift unto you that we be mutually encouraged. He wrote to them. He planned to go there. He's been waiting in a prison in Caesarea 2 years to get there. Took a long boat ride that took the better part of a year with delays and a shipwreck. Now he's come to Rome. And he sees for the first time believers. Pause on that thought, would you? Have you ever thought how important encouragement is to a servant of God? You know, it doesn't take much. It doesn't take much. It could take a visit, a word, a card. It can go so far. This week, I stopped to see an old saint who used to minister around here years ago, who's now weakened. I just stopped by for a few minutes and talked to him. And before I left, he took my arm and he said, thank you. I didn't do anything. I was just visiting him. You know, if you were this week to sit down and write a note to one of our missionaries, just say, I've been praying for you this week and thinking about you, especially since Sunday. They kind of told me to do this. But you know how far that would go to encourage one of them? Listen to this. Paul writes, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 6. Nevertheless, God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus. Titus didn't do anything. He just came. And that was enough to bring comfort. Just to see him did it for him. Well, simple encouragement has a way of greasing the gears of ministry and making a servant of the Lord, a missionary, an apostle like this, just gain enough courage to say, I'm going to go all the way, I'm not going to quit. A little boy at home showed how important encouragement was when he said to his dad, let's play darts, Dad. Here's how it works. I'll throw them and you say, that was wonderful. Little boy just knew he needed dad's encouragement. Well, let's go to verse 17 now and see how it's not just the arrival that marked this stay in Rome, but the gospel. For we read, it came to pass after 3 days that Paul called the leaders of the Jews together. So when they had come together, he said to them, men and brethren, though I have done nothing against our people or the customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered as a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who, when they had examined me, wanted to let me go because there was no cause for putting me to death. But when the Jews spoke against it, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar, not that I had anything of which to accuse my nation. For this reason, therefore, I have called you to see you and to speak with you, because for the hope of Israel, I am bound with this chain. Then they said to him, we neither received letters from Judea concerning you, nor have any of the brethren who came reported or spoken any evil of you. But we desire to hear from you what you think, for concerning this sect, we know that it is spoken against everywhere. That word sect is a very interesting word. It's heresy, actually. Ah, yeah, we've heard about this Christian heresy. We'd like to know your opinion. So, verse 23, when they had appointed him a day, many came to him at his lodging, to whom he explained and solemnly testified of the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus from both the law of Moses and the prophets, from morning till evening. And some were persuaded by the things which were spoken, and some disbelieved. So, when they did not agree among themselves, they departed after Paul said one word. Listen to his last final message to these leaders. The Holy Spirit spoke rightly through Isaiah the prophet to our fathers, saying, go to this people and say, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing. Their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. Therefore, let it be known to you that the salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will hear it. He spoke from years of experience when he said that one. When he had said these words, the Jews departed and had a great dispute among themselves. Then Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house and received all who came to him. Okay, here's the flow of Paul's time at Rome. He comes and he rests for 3 days. It's not very long when you think of the boat ride he's been on. 3 days later, he's back to work. He's a steward of the gospel. So he brings the Jewish leaders in. That's the first thing he does in Rome, is to get the Jewish leaders. Now, have you noticed a pattern with the apostle? Whether he is in Lystra, Derbe, Iconium, anywhere, he first goes to a Jewish synagogue because he's Jewish. He's a rabbi. He always starts there. He never bore any animosity toward the Jewish nation, even though they accused him falsely and persecuted him in every city. You know, you'd think after a while, forget the synagogue, I'm going to go right to the marketplace. He never did that. That was his pattern. And he tells us in Romans 1, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Gentile.
You know, Paul's stay in Rome wasn't exactly comfortable, but it was extremely fruitful. And we'll finish out our look at it next weekend here in Connect with Skip Weekend Edition. As Skip Heitzig concludes this teaching, Rome, Sweet Rome. We hope you've learned a lot from this series, Paul's Long Road to Rome, which unpacks Paul's passion and focus on spreading the gospel to everyone he could. And if you are encouraged by today's teaching and like to share it with a friend, you can purchase a copy on audio CD for only $6. Or if you'd like to get the entire 22 teaching package, that's available as well. Find out more and order today at connectwithskip.com, where you can also find out more about this month's special offer.
How would you like to predict the future? 100 years ago, a man named John Watkins, who curated the Smithsonian, tried. He predicted that by today, we'd have exterminated cockroaches and mosquitoes, and we'd no longer be using the letters C, Q, or X. Tell that to Xerox. The truth is, the future is beyond our ability to predict, but it's not beyond God's. And His Word tells us everything we need to know about what's ahead in the period known as the end times. We want to help you understand what the future holds by sending you Skip Heitzig's book, You Can Understand the Book of Revelation. You Can Understand the Book of Revelation, newly reprinted to include helpful illustrations and a study guide. This timely resource is our gift of thanks for your donation today of $35 or more to help keep these Bible-based teachings on the air. Visit connectwithskip.com/offer to give today and get your copy of You Can Understand the Book of Revelation. Or call 800-922-1888. That's 800-922-1888.
Well, Paul has landed at his longed-for destination, Rome, Sweet Rome. So join us for the conclusion of the series next weekend here on Connect with Skip Weekend Edition, a presentation of Connection Communications.
Make a connection. Make a connection at the foot of the cross. Cast your burdens on His word. Make a connection. A connection. A connection.
Connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.